Likely out Thursday night against the Ravens. Matt Moore expected to start in his place. Cutler with multiple cracked ribs. One night after Steelers receiver Martavis Bryant refueled his trade request, he didn't show up for team meetings due to illness, according to his agent. NBA Suns GM Ryan McDonough told reporters Eric Bledsoe has likely played his last game with Phoenix. Bledsoe sent home today. He will not play tonight. Suns actively engaged with several teams in trade talks for Bledsoe and hope to find a deal soon. Dwayne Wade told Cavs coach Ty Lue he wants to come off the bench. Wade has struggled in his first three games. J.R. Smith back to the starting five. College basketball, North Carolina senior point guard Joel Berry II will miss about 4 weeks because of a broken bone in his right hand. And from soccer, Real Madrid's Cristiano Ronaldo won FIFA Player of the Year award for a fifth time.
The 2017 World Series on ESPN Radio. Game one between the Dodgers and Astros. Coverage begins tomorrow at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Presented by AutoZone.
After a decade spinning my wheels in urban overdrive, I moved my family back to the heartland to plan a better life and sprout my new business. I remember a spirit of cooperation here, but now there's an even closer sense of community. It was only natural that I return to DePaco for my business loan and insurance coverage. They're a cooperative, using sustainable money methods locally to provide friends and neighbors all kinds of insurance at special co-op discounts. Life and business insurance for me, long-term care for mom, auto and health for the whole family. Not to mention the happiness insurance, we'll save thousands over a lifetime. Enough to transplant a little of our good fortune into our neighborhood garden project. DePaco is family to me. People working together to help each other grow.
Enriching lives through sustainable money methods. Some call that smart money.
I call it bright green.
DePaco Community Credit Union.
Save.
Borrow. Invest.
Insure.
Trust.
Let's visit your folks in Florida over winter break.
Good idea.
I'm checking fares from the Quad City International Airport. They have nonstop Allegiant flights to the Fort Myers area starting December 15th. Ooh, that's perfect. The kids can swim and you and your dad can play golf.
What about you?
Oh, I'll be shopping with your mom, talking about how lucky you two are to have such spectacular wives.
Plan your Florida getaway to Fort Myers or four other Allegiant destinations at qcairport.com. The Quad City International Airport, making travel easier.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
It's time for some straight talk. Greeny, you love your phone, don't you?
I'm updating my fantasy roster on it as we speak.
But I'm guessing you don't love your pricey wireless plan, what with all the mystery fees and data overages every month.
Oh, you got that right.
What if I told you that you could keep that phone you love, but pay a whole lot less every month?
Well, I'm in.
With Straight Talk Wireless, you can actually keep your same phone, your same number, even your same network, but for a whole lot less than you're paying right now. Kind of like getting a number one starting quarterback
for the price of a backup kicker.
Steal of the draft.
Bring your own phone to Straight Talk Wireless. Our unlimited plan with 10 gigabytes at high speed then 2G is just $45 a month. With nationwide coverage on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
The Truex juggernaut rolls on, but don't crown him just yet.
There's no guarantee we'll even get to Homestead yet, so one race at a time.
I'm Woody Kane. The story next on NASCAR Today.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's Georgia Gold.
And I'm also over here to tell you about Nashville Hot.
Georgia Gold is honey mustard barbecue.
KFC Nashville Hot is spicy and smoky.
Georgia Gold is sweet and tangy.
Nashville Hot is crispy and delicious.
You might be asking how I'm doing this.
You also might be asking where the nearest KFC is.
I don't know what you're asking. This is radio. I can't hear you. Try both delicious flavors at KFC.
Available in extra crispy chicken tenders or chicken littles for a limited time at participating KFCs. Prices may vary. We'll be right back.
Hey, Junior Nation, MRN and Wrangler want to send you and a guest to Miami and Ford Championship Weekend to cheer on Dale Earnhardt Jr. in his final Cup Series race.
Enter now at MRN.com for a trip of a lifetime. The grand prize includes travel and hotel accommodations, grandstand tickets for all three races, pace car rides, pit passes, and much more.
It's the Salute to Junior Sweepstakes, presented by the Wrangler Performance Series. Jeans and pants for less restrictions and more living.
Try on a pair today.
Martin Truex Jr.'s win Sunday at Kansas was his seventh of the season and third in the playoffs. He'll open the semifinal round at Martinsville Sunday with a 27-point cushion over second place. But he noted that Kyle Larson had a similar margin entering yesterday's race and is now out.
I've been saying it all year. Everybody looks at, they all say I'm a lock because I got so many playoff points. But I'm telling you, it's not that simple. We got to go out and perform. We can't have an engine failure. We can't get a crash five laps into Martinsville.
At MRN.com's on-demand section, we recap the weekend and look ahead on Motorsports Monday with Chris Buescher, Truck Series driver Grant Enfinger, and Ryan Blaney's crew chief Jeremy Bullins. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
6:07, 2 hours in the rearview mirror, 1 hour ahead of us. Welcome back or welcome in. It's the Todd Brownell Camp Show along with Alex Kuhn coming your way on 106.3 FM. Our South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids, and then all across Eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency. World Series action coming up this week, the Astros and the Dodgers. We'll get into that a little bit coming up on tomorrow's program. Kirk Ferentz meets the media. We'll hear from him. It's Floyd of Rosedale week, a very subdued Floyd of Rosedale week in Iowa City, as the statue is still residing in the display case. It's not really a case because it's open air, but the pedestal on which Floyd of Rosedale sits. We walk past it every Tuesday on our way into the auditorium or the room where Kirk Ferentz addresses the media. The question is whether or not Floyd of Rosedale will still be there next Tuesday when we walk past. I would say yes. But it looks like the Hawks are actually going to have to work a little bit harder than many of us would have expected them to beat Minnesota after going on the road and losing 17-10 in overtime against Northwestern. Coming up in just a few minutes, you'll hear what Kirk Ferentz himself had to say after Iowa's loss to the Wildcats. But I want to make sure, before we completely put this to bed and move on, that Iowa State fans have had an opportunity to speak their mind, get their two cents in, and that I've done a decent enough job of explaining where I'm coming from. Alex, I think you'd agree with me on that. It sucks that we even have to talk about this, that we even have to have this conversation. Now, I know there's somebody out there that's saying you don't have to have this conversation.
We do.
Well, no, we don't, but it's I hate to be blunt, but I'm a number of things, and blunt can be one of them. It's one of the only ways that Iowa State is going to get talked about in Eastern Iowa is when there's something like this going on, or when you make it into the top 25 for the first time since 2005. It's just, that's nature. And what sucks is having to have that conversation when I think the vast majority of Iowa State fans are good people who just want to live in the moment and enjoy the fact that a couple weeks ago, after that team lost to Iowa and after the Texas game, where it looked like this was going to be a lost season, and many of them were already talking about women's basketball, which, by the way, it'll be interesting to see what Steve Prohm and the Cyclones do there this year, because they've got a lot of restructuring to do as far as minutes and rotations and starting five go. But there was a lot of talk a month ago about when basketball season starts in Ames. And with all due respect to Steve Prohm and the Cyclones, very few people are talking about his program right now. And it's because of what Matt Campbell and Iowa State have done the last couple weeks, going and beating Oklahoma, going on the road. And I don't care what conference it's in, and I don't care the level of the opponent. When you go on the road and pick up multiple road victories, that's a good sign that your team is moving in the right direction and doing things well. And who would have thought a team that knows how to play defense would have success in the Big 12. The joke has always been they don't play defense in the Big 12. Well, look what happens when you put a competent defense on the field. And Ray Lima is going to be there in all Big 12 discussion at the end of the year. You got guys like Marcel Spears. It's fun to watch what's going on in Ames as much as it is frustrating to watch what's going on in Iowa City. And we'll hear again from Kirk Ferentz coming up in a little bit, but do I think that Matt Campbell is going to be the head coach at Iowa State for the remainder of my life? No. Do I think that he's going to be the head coach at Iowa State beyond this year? Yes. And part of that has to do with what it would cost, I believe, $9 million.
Correct.
To buy him out of his contract right now, because very nice work by Jamie Pollard and Iowa State in putting that contract together. And look, if a program comes along, a big-time program comes along and says, what's standing between us and Matt Campbell? Oh, $9 million plus what we're going to have to pay him? Here's the $9 million. There aren't a ton of those programs out there. Now, there will be, and you mentioned it in hour number two, I think everybody knows the Tennessee job is going to come open at the end of the year. It's almost a minor miracle that it hasn't become open yet, but it looks like they're inclined to let Butch Jones ride out this season after another just absolutely lackluster performance this past weekend, although it was against the number one team in the country. That'll be an intriguing job, and it's going to get a number of candidates, but again, with all due respect, Tennessee fans would not react well to being told that their next head coach is the guy who's at Iowa State right now. Just, it's the mentality of the SEC fan.
They want John Gruden, and they want
Gruden, they want Chip Kelly.
Jimbo Fisher.
They want big names, and you know what? Sometimes it's good to have Matt Campbell, the up-and-comer. And that could be one of those instances, because like I said, I don't see Matt Campbell going to a place like Nebraska or any place further west. He seems to be a guy who's built for success in the Midwest, and you get venturing too far beyond the Missouri River, and I don't see that being a possibility for him. But I think he's going to be there until he's proven that he can consistently win, and we don't even know if they can consistently win this season, because there are a lot of games left and the wheels could come off. Or
they have three games in a row where it's going to be very, very difficult for them to come out 2-1, or really even 1-2.
The wheels could come off, or they could win those games, and then
he's a really,
then all bets are off, because he's
really,
a really
hot candidate.
Yeah. But I think this year it's not even worth worrying about or losing any sleep over if you're an Iowa State fan. And I don't know whether Herb Street has any inside information or not, but I can tell you this. I would almost guarantee you that athletic directors are taking notice of Matt Campbell, and more people know who Matt Campbell is in October of 2017 than probably knew who Matt Campbell was 2 years ago, athletic director-wise, as far as would I consider putting him on a short list if I had a job opening. There are probably some ADs, some presidents, and certainly some search firms that are looking around going, okay, who's doing well? And who's at a place where maybe the resources are not what they would like? Whether you like it or not, Iowa and Iowa State both have relatively limited resources. There is no Phil Knight or T. Boone Pickens to go to any time that you need money and shake the money tree loose. Iowa and Iowa State both have to work really hard to get what they have and to get what they will have in the future as far as funding goes. Other places, it's a little bit more abundant, and coaches tend to migrate to where the money is at. It's a lot like politics and college football. Follow the money. 319-366-1600. That is also the Hertin and Stocker text line. Let's go to the phones and bring Dave in North Liberty on. Dave wants to talk about the Cyclones. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Appreciate your coverage of the Cyclones.
Yep. What's up?
Hey, I was just going to say, you know, I hear what you guys are talking about, but I always think, you know, there's only one thing better than winning, and it's new winning, and hopefully it'll become infectious here, and Coach Campbell will want to stay, and he'll be loved and admired forever if he does.
And no one is going to argue with you on that one, Dave. And, Alex, let me ask you this. If you're a coach, I want you to put yourself in Matt Campbell's shoes.
Okay.
How much of a draw is it to be at a place where if you stayed and won consistently and you knew that it really hadn't been done at that place before and you're thinking maybe I'm getting a statue out front of the stadium. I can be a big fish in a small pond and be relatively happy here. How much of that is in the back of your mind as you're trying to plot the course of your career? Because every coach has an idea of where they want to be 5 years from now, where they want to be 10 years from now, where they want to be 20 years from now, especially when you're that age.
It really all depends on the personality of the coach. And I'm glad you bring this up because I want to go back to that Justin Fuente example. He was a guy who was kind of he recruited the under the radar players. He wanted to be kind of that guy who took over a program that was in under terrible footing and made it something in Memphis. And then he moved on to a job where he could go in the ACC and he didn't have to recruit in the SEC and he didn't have to play the games that the SEC coaches have to play and be that kind of big-time figure. He wanted to be a little bit more anonymous, so he goes to Virginia Tech. That is the perfect job for him. For Matt Campbell, I don't know. I don't know what type of personality he is. I think he's one of those guys, though, that he thinks and maybe he wants to take on one of those big-time jobs because he has the recruiting prowess. He has the style that will be able to compete wherever he goes. But I just don't know if now is the right time. If now's the right time for him. And I think some of this frustration for him is that we're 18 games into this. We're only 5-2. And yes, the top 25 number is next to us, but we have to play TCU, West Virginia right in a row. And then we have to go and play Baylor and Kansas State to round out the season. We have three tough games in front of us, and we are nowhere near where we want to be right now. So I think he stays. I agree with you. I don't think he's going to go anywhere at the end of this season. But like you said, I don't see him being one of those Gary Patterson type guys that sticks there for 20 plus years and looks past all of these really good jobs kind of going by the wayside and sticks at Iowa State. I think the happy medium would be a guy like Chris Peterson at Boise State. He had plenty of opportunities to leave, and finally he found the right one for him at Washington after 7 or 8 years in Boise.
Cajun Troy weighing in on the Hurtin and Stocker text line. He'll stay here 3 years and then go to LSU. That's wishful thinking. She's having a little fun there, I think. But look,
Oklahoma State's the other team. Sorry about that.
If I'm Matt Campbell, I'm not going anywhere. And here's why. Because he put in a lot of time and blood, sweat, and tears, sweat equity at Toledo to make the move to a Power 5 conference. And he's been in Iowa State now for two seasons. And it takes a lot to get to that Power 5 level. And it doesn't take very much to completely blow all that up. And with coaching, if you make one bad decision, you set yourself back irreparably a decade or more because nobody wants the damaged goods. And so you go Toledo, you go Iowa State, and then if you wanted to make that next jump, you got to think long and hard about it. Because if you're just taking the money and it's not a good situation and you don't think you can win there, and then you get tossed overboard after 3 or 4 years because this is a what have you done for me lately, and if you're not showing progress, get the hell out of here. We made a mistake, and we'll go make another one. What's money to some of these big-time programs? all of a sudden you get the scarlet letter on you. And so all of the work that you did at Toledo and Iowa State at that point would go out the window. And look at these guys that have had to go, you know, the Kevin Wilsons. That's a perfect example because he made his move from the offensive coordinator at Oklahoma to Indiana. And now he's had to take a step back. He's the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. That's actually a really good landing spot for somebody because it's not often that you go that route. Look at Paul Rhodes. Paul Rhodes washes out in Ames and is currently the secondary coach at Arkansas on a staff that is going to get the axe at the end of the season. And then he's not going to get another head coaching job, probably. He's going to have to go be a position coach, or maybe he gets a defensive coordinator's gig somewhere. But it's going to be a long time, if ever, before Paul Rhodes gets another head coaching opportunity. Now, Campbell has one thing on his side that many people don't in that business: extreme youth, which is why he also has a lot of time to make that next move. And that's why I'm telling you, Iowa State fans, I don't think you have anything to worry about in the here and now. Because, quite frankly, they haven't won anything yet. The season isn't over. This could all go sideways. So it is premature at this point. But in order to be that really big, hot commodity, you got to do it for a couple years in a row, where an athletic director goes, okay, this guy has proven time and time again over the course of two or three seasons and a couple recruiting cycles that he knows what he's doing. And this is the guy that I'm going to stake my reputation on, because that's where it all boils down to for the athletic directors, is they are tying their jobs to a football coach or a basketball coach. And you make the wrong hire, you usually get one mulligan. You screw up twice, and then you're the guy who's out of a job.
You mentioned the buyout. That's $9 million. They would be, at the end of the season, $9 million for a school to come in and buy out Matt Campbell's contract. So when you're talking about a coach moving, you have to look at the programs that are going to be needing a new coach. And Tennessee and Arkansas come to mind right off the bat. Nebraska as well. Are any of those three schools going to pay the $9 million buyout this year that it would take to get Matt Campbell after? Would any of those fan bases be able to sell that, or those athletic departments be able to sell that to their fan base? I don't think so. Other than that, there aren't a lot of big-time jobs that are going to be available. Maybe Florida. We'll see what happens with Jim McElwain. UCLA might be available. Arizona State. But like you said, I don't see him going west either, or out of his comfort zone. I think if he's going to leave, and I think he will eventually, it's going to be the perfect situation for him to go, meaning probably a legendary coach retires, or he goes to a place that where a coach had jumped for a better job, which happens from time to time. Like, I don't know, Jimbo Fisher goes from Florida State to LSU. I don't know, but I don't think he's going to jump into one of these situations. And right now, I don't think any of these big time programs are going to necessarily say, oh, $9 million buyout, we're going to get this guy because this guy right here is the leader of our program. I think he's a great coach, but he still does have a lot more proving to do.
Matt Campbell leaves. Kirk Ferentz goes to Iowa State. Brett Bielema, fired at Arkansas, takes over at Iowa. Everybody's happy, right? 366-1600, I kid. And by the way, in today's edition of I Say Something Stupid and Completely Inaccurate, but at least I will call myself out for it, as the text line is doing right now, Paul Rhodes is now the defensive coordinator on a staff that's going to lose its job at the end of the season because Brett Bielema threw his friend Rob Smith overboard, no pun intended, without a life vest, and he's now rowing the boat as the defensive coordinator for PJ Fleck, and we will see Rob Smith's defense up close and personal under the lights at Kinnick Stadium this weekend. So, yes, it doesn't change the fact that Paul Rhodes is going to be out of a job at the end of the year, along with Brett Bielema and the rest of the Arkansas coaches. They can't move. There's no path forward for Brett Bielema at Arkansas right now. And, you know, where will he land? all it takes, and we can sit here, and it's October 23rd, and we can sit here and speculate that the Tennessee job is going to be open, and you said maybe Florida because no one knows what's going to happen with Jim McElwain. All it takes is one crazy domino. Jimbo Fisher to LSU or something along those lines. Well, then look, then the Florida State job is open. So that's a marquee. So I've been around long enough to know that your guess is as good as mine when it comes to what jobs are going to be open and geographically where they're located and who's going to be interested in them. Like you said, and we got a couple people on the text line, Ohio State. If I had to wager a guess, that's Matt Campbell's probably one of his top three dream jobs.
Yes.
He's from Massillon, Ohio. He's not going to say that. No coach in their right mind says that. We know when he's introduced, when he leaves Toledo, you don't sit down next to Jamie Pollard with the hopes and dreams of an entire fan base and their eyes upon you and sit there and go, this is, if I can't be in Columbus at Ohio State, there is no place I would rather be than in. But truthfully, you know it. And it's just, it's the nature of the game. Now, not everybody wants to go home. And I've been to Columbus, Ohio. It's not exactly the greatest place in the world. But who's to say that just because somebody played or coached at Iowa that they'd ever want to come back to Iowa, or just because somebody was born in Ohio? You know, Bob Stoops, his name doesn't necessarily get thrown around with the Ohio State gig all that often. Of course, that job doesn't come open all that often. Usually when you lose to Michigan, and let's face it, in the battle of Urban Meyer and Jim Harbaugh, I'm taking Urban Meyer more often than not because Jim Harbaugh suddenly is losing a little bit of his luster in Ann Arbor, and people are pointing to his record side by side with Brady Hoke's record and going, wait a minute, this isn't that much different. Yet Jim Harbaugh is quirky and he wears khakis and he's does things outside of the box to distract from, well, sooner or later, it comes down to results.
Sooner, because he's number six on the college football coach's hot seat.
Coach's hot seat. There's a website dedicated to, where's Bielema?
Bielema is number two.
Ooh,
behind
Butch.
Yes.
He's got to be behind, but yeah, Butch. So look, how many of the top 10 are SEC jobs?
Let's see. You got Butch. You've got Bielema, and then the next SEC job is McElwain, Florida at 10. So three of them. And then you have Mike Riley and Lovie Smith and Cliff Kingsbury, Larry Fedora at North Carolina, Kalani Sitake at BYU, and then David Beatty at Kansas, who I thought one of the more hilarious poll questions on ESPN programming came today. Is Kansas the worst thing in sport? Kansas football the worst thing in sports?
0696 on the Hartine and Stunker text line. You guys said the same thing about Tyler Wiegers being the starter. Campbell is gone.
Huh?
Yeah, question mark emoji on that one.
What? I'll
plead ignorance there. And yeah, if anybody, actually should be the title of the program, pleading ignorance. But the fact is that only one person knows for sure what the future holds for Matt Campbell, and that's Matt Campbell. So,
and I don't even think he knows, because there haven't been any firings to this point. Coaches or athletic departments aren't actively looking, or at least supposed to be actively looking for a new coach until they make the decision. So until a school comes to him and says either we're going to interview you or we're interested or we're offering you a job, he doesn't know what his future is going to be. So let's wait until at least the last couple weeks of the season for some of these dominoes to fall before we start speculating.
6:30, here's what we'll do. We'll take a quick break. Kyle's going to have a Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you, and then when we return, you will hear Kirk Ferentz after the Northwestern loss on Saturday. What did he have to say? Chances are, if you haven't heard it yet, you're probably not going to enjoy hearing it, but this show has been all about inflicting emotional pain on people today. First Iowa State fans and then Iowa fans, because we're going to rip off the scab of the 17-10 overtime loss to Northwestern. 6:30, Quick break. When we come back, another big board update on the way. 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, and we'll be back after this.
Along with the crunch of leaves underfoot and the scent of smoke wisping from the chimneys, fall brings with it a sense of tradition. The certain sound of chattering children in costume on Halloween, or the gathering round the table for a magnificent turkey dinner. There are things you can count on year after year. That's what fall means to the Dickens family. Since the 1940s, they've run Hertin and Stocker as a family business, true to the classic fine jewelry store. Though it may be surprising in these modern times, they still offer a layaway program. Put down some money and pay each month until you're ready to take your piece home. Of course, it's interest-free. During the fall, as you enjoy your family's traditions and begin holiday shopping, walk by and see what's in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and wish a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes. You sign up with your street address so you only get a reminder when it's our week.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
When something bad happens, you don't want to get sucked into the black hole of voicemail. And you certainly don't want to tell your story over and over each time you're transferred. What you want is a kind, smart person who knows your coverage top to bottom, understands how you're feeling, and helps you figure out what's next. It's really not too much to ask. At Skogman Carlson Insurance, you have a person. A real one. Get to know yours at youhaveaperson.com. Supported by Integrity Insurance.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at tryoninvestments.com.
6:33, and we have lit off a incendiary blast on the text line, and I don't know why, but now we've got to recover from this, and the only way to do so is with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Here's Kyle Mann.
The Cyclones have won three in a row after a 31-13 victory over Texas Tech this weekend. They moved to 5-2 on the season and 3-1 in the Big 12 and now find themselves ranked 25th in the country, giving them their first appearance in the AP poll since 2005. They'll have an opportunity to make a huge statement this weekend at home, hosting number 4 TCU. And Cyclone linebacker Marcel Spears was named the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week for his play in Saturday's win. The redshirt freshman had 7 tackles and a pick 6. The Iowa women's basketball team held its media day in Iowa City today, the first day of Big Ten Women's Basketball Week, and junior forward Megan Gustafson was named to the preseason all-conference team by both the coaches and the media. She averaged 18 points and 10 rebounds on her way to breaking single-season records for rebounding and double-doubles, and also becoming just the fourth player in program history to score 600 points or more. It was announced today that the UNI men's basketball team will be traveling to Madison on November 1st to take on Wisconsin in an exhibition game for hurricane relief. The game will be free admission into the Kohl Center, instead encouraging fans to make small donations to Team Rubicon. Tonight after the show, I'm sure we're going to have some awfully excited fans on the Cyclone Call-In Show. That'll be on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. And we'll also have Monday Night Football with the Eagles hosting the Redskins on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Quick look at the text line before we step aside and take a quick break. 72-95, Nebraska, Arkansas, and Tennessee could all win out. It's kind of early to be talking about this. As I responded on the text line, I would bet good money all three of those programs are looking for new coaches. Look, Mike Riley is not saving his job.
No, Mike Riley's done. I think that's established.
Bielema is, this is year number 5 at Arkansas for him, and to date he is 10-26 in the SEC. And 27-31 overall, he's as good as gone. And there's a chain of food stores in the South, Food Lion, a lot like Hy-Vee. There was a photo circulating recently of a cookie at a Food Lion in Tennessee that was decorated in the checkerboard pattern that said Fire Butch with the power T on it. They're selling those cookies at groceries. Can you imagine going into a Hy-Vee and going to the bakery and they're out for public consumption? It's not a special order. Just going into the bakery and seeing Fire Fran McCaffrey or Fire Kirk Ferentz.
Is that a job you want to step into if you're a young coach that is just kind of getting his feet wet in the Power Five?
That's a great example of the grass isn't always greener, because Phil Fulmer was essentially pushed over the cliff, and that program has not been the same since.
Did you see the news coming out of Gainesville today about Jim McElwain receiving
death
threats?
Does it involve a shark?
No, it doesn't, but apparently he came out and said he's receiving death threats.
He said his family and his coaching staff have received death threats. And look, it's one thing to go put a for sale sign in somebody's yard. It's another to, even if it's an empty threat, you can't call the White House and say that. You shouldn't be able to call a football complex or a basketball complex or anywhere and say that. It's the world that we live in. There's some really sick individuals out there. 636, I'm one of them, because I'm going to make you listen to what Kirk Ferentz had to say after Iowa and Northwestern last Saturday when we return after this.
We're changing things up at Chili's. Even our song is changing.
Our old song was baby back, baby back, baby back. It was about ribs because that was our thing.
Everything's getting an update.
Our new menu is totally different. We made your favorite things a lot bigger.
We made our new burger half a pound. That's much bigger.
And the ribs are 30% bigger. The fajitas are way bigger too.
48% actually. But that's like impossible to sing.
I don't know. Maybe just let me try it. The fajitas have 48% more fajitas.
Mm-hmm. Oh baby, Chili's is back.
Baby back, baby back.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. Right now, get any 5 quarts of Pennzoil full synthetic or high-mileage motor oil and an STP filter for $17.99 after $20 prepaid Visa card by mail-in rebate. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid AIR is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid AIR has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The AIR offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. 3 environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
Iowa State fans, you're going to enjoy hearing Jamie Pollard tonight on the Cyclone Sideline Show. We'll have it for you on 1600 AM at the top of the hour. Our FM listeners, you get the Monday night football game this week, which I know features the Washington Redskins and the Philadelphia Eagles, because we have a player on both of those teams on the Talk Sports fantasy team in the Imon Communications Listener League, and we need a big night out of Kirk Cousins and Jake Elliott and Jordan Reed to not do a whole lot, and then we'll be 6-1. I got you your Memphis kicker.
I know. I appreciate that. And unfortunately, he's playing against me in one of my other leagues.
Uh-oh.
But I think I'm safely ahead to the point where I can...
Okay, yeah, there you go. Middle.
Yes,
find
I should be all right.
The middle ground. 6:39 here now, Kirk Ferentz on Saturday in the Northwestern ticket office. Yes. The opposing coach meets the media inside the Northwestern ticket office. Kirk Ferentz, that's why the acoustics are as bad as they are, talking about Iowa's 17-10 overtime loss to the Wildcats.
You know, credit goes to them. They're good enough to get it done there in overtime. A lot of swings during the game, a lot of things that, little things that add up and make a difference. And, you know, when you talk about conference football, certainly that's going to be important. You talk about a series like this, which typically is pretty hard fought and pretty close. It's going to make a difference. And really, it's kind of illustrative of our team right now. You know, we've had three games where we've come up short. Two of them, one touchdown, the other one, you know, less than that. So those are the things that we're going to have to improve on. We're going to have to find a way to do a little bit better, be a little bit more detailed, and, you know, find a way to make a few more plays during the course of the game so we can swing the outcome. I'll throw it out.
With the run game, you guys had some success early on. Second half didn't seem like the holes opened up as much. From your vantage point, kind of what was the difference?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't have the answer right this second, but yeah, first half we moved the ball pretty well. We had good drives, sustained drives, and moved it. Didn't come up with points the first two possessions, but moved it into the wind. Did a good job that way. And the second half was clearly something different. You know, we got off to a really slow start. First four or five possessions, I believe it was, and then got a little traction there to get back in the game. But there's ebb and flow in a game, certainly. But it comes down to details, and both teams playing hard.
What did the lack of a running game what does that do to your play call? What did that do to your play call today?
We're a better football team when we can run the ball efficiently. It's always been that way, and that is our plan. Will continue to be our plan. So we're going to try to do a better job there. And then we got to do a little bit better job making plays that are makeable. You know, the ones that if we have an opportunity to catch the football, we got to do it. And we have the one turnover today. You know, so we got to try to avoid that, and it's looked like a miscommunication. The quarterback and the receiver, so no, we still wasn't heading through it. So, those are the kind of things that you have to erase if you're going to be able to win football games.
Speaking of first half offense, seven first drives this year, 0 points. It's a recurring theme, and you're not cashing in early. Do you see a reason for that?
Well, yeah, like I said, I think during the bye week, the two of them were turnovers, and then this time we got stopped on downs. We moved the ball. We took it, whatever it was, 80 yards or, I don't know, 70, not 80, obviously, we would have scored. But we moved the ball in that first drive, but, got to finish drives as part of the deal.
Kirk, you think your defense deserved a little better today? I mean, I thought they played pretty tough.
That's how football goes, So if we had, held them to one less point in regulation, we'll win the game. So, some days it's going to be like that, other days it's going to go the other way. And bottom line is, you either play good enough to win or you don't, and that's what we got to figure out a way to do that a little bit better.
What is the status of Josie and Brandon going forward, and why were they out today?
I'm sorry,
why were they out today?
Yeah, they're both obviously injured, carryover from 2 weeks ago. So, fortunately, we didn't have a game last week. I thought Josie might have an opportunity, to perform today. He didn't pass the test, so. We dressed him out and all that, but we knew he wasn't going to play the football game. And Brandon, same thing. It's residual from 2 weeks ago, and we'll just take that week by week. But hopefully we'll get those guys back soon. I think Josie's got the best chance to get back the quickest.
So, Brandon, was it injured against Illinois, and you feel like you're rushing it back then?
No, what happened is, players wake up Sunday sometimes. They leave the stadium fine, and they come back Sunday, and they've got some issues. So it's not uncommon. He's going to work back from it. Hopefully we'll get him back either next week or the week after.
What's your sense of the frustration level on the offensive line and the entire offense in general?
I think there'd be a lot of frustration today. We didn't get enough points to win the football game. So, it's just part of football when you're not, moving it consistently enough. We had some really good drives today, and, give them credit. They got a tough defense. They play good defensive football. So, but we didn't execute consistently enough, and we're going to have to eliminate some, I think there are a couple of errors, mental errors up front, missed assignments, however you want to paraphrase that. A couple drops, those things are the things that stop drives, and if we're going to be able to sustain drives and then finish drives, we're going to have to play a little bit cleaner.
You had a chance to talk to Noah yet, and when you do, what are you going to say to him, what can you say to him?
Well, in terms of...
Just catching the ball and that tough last play.
He's doing a lot of really good things for us, and it's probably illustrative of our football team right now. We're not quite there yet, and when you're not quite there, you come up short, be it by a touchdown, or and this one was a touchdown in overtime. So, that's part of this process, and hopefully, he's done a lot of really good things, and I think that's illustrative of our team, too. We're seeing a lot of really positive things out there. So you got to play through those, and nobody's more disappointed than him on that. But we didn't lose a game on that. But there are a lot of plays you can go back and look at. And maybe as big as any was the quarterback scramble on where it was third and forever, and the guy, made a good run on that one. So and it wasn't like anybody was, we didn't blow that. The guy just made a really good play. So it's a tough deal.
Were you surprised they went for so many fourth downs? I mean, they fouled the play counts that way. It really seemed to work for them.
No, not really. I mean, you know, this end of the field, I think I'm on the right end, right? You know, this end of the field is tricky. I mean, good luck kicking a field goal. You could do it, but it wasn't exactly money in the bank on that one. So I think that factored in everybody's thinking today.
In overtime, when it was third and 9 or whatever it was, and they had to hit Jackson, he goes for 23. Looked like there was some miscommunication between Neiman and one of your defensive backs, where he kind of got, you know, shoved at the last second inside, and then Jackson went outside on him. I mean, what kind of happened there with the coverage?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't cover him well enough, and he's a really good football player. And as you might imagine, he's one of the guys we were focused on in this ball game. I think we did a decent job trying to contain him, but that was a big play. And, you know, this guy's I don't want to call him Hall of Fame player, but he's at Northwestern. And, you know, good players make good plays. He certainly did on that one.
The big play, I think, was that 8-yard punt. Josh seen that a couple times where he didn't feel the punt.
Yeah, yeah. What,
do you have a, is
there two things on that one. I mean, the guy just nailed it. Yeah. I mean, you know, so that kind of throws your charts off a little bit. And then, yeah, you have a tough son right there, too. So those two things, you know, make it tough. And that was a huge play for them.
Do you feel like you need to make adjustments back there? Do you have another option back there?
You know, I mean, I guess if we knew the guy was going to hit it that well, we might have had him back a little deeper. And then, son, you just got to plan, especially the 11 o'clock kickoffs. You got to deal with that.
Kirk Ferentz live from the Northwestern ticket office. At least he was Saturday afternoon after that 17-10 loss to the Wildcats. Iowa now 4-3 overall. Can still win two games or more and go to a bowl game, but 1-3 in the Big Ten, gearing up for this weekend's showdown against Minnesota. Floyd of Rosedale will be on the line. P.J. Fleck making his triumphant return to Kinnick Stadium, this time as the head coach of the Minnesota Golden Gophers. You can just feel the excitement in the air, can't you, week? As people Iowa State is overshadowing Iowa, and both fan bases are in sky is falling mode. One of them for, I think, good reasons, and one of them for reasons that are a little suspect. The sky is not falling on either the Iowa or Iowa State football programs at the moment. Talk to me after Iowa loses to Minnesota, or talk to me after Matt Campbell leaves tomorrow for a job. Until then, the sky is not falling. Let's pump the brakes. Do you think that the success of the Iowa State program is adding a little bit of angst to the Iowa football fan?
Absolutely.
And I agree with you. And I think that I don't think it's just because Iowa State's in the top 25 or because they're 5-2. When Iowa loses games, really when Iowa wins games, they're in close games, they're in slugfests, and when they start losing games, it's not fun to watch because the offense struggles the way it did. The running game can't get going. They can't get anything going offensively, and they lose a 17-10 game where Pat Fitzgerald at one point let the last 1:28 of the fourth quarter run off the clock, played for overtime, still won the game. And you see Iowa State playing an exciting brand of football. They have some really good offensive weapons, and they kind of curb the narrative that there's no defense played in the Big 12 and show that you can bring in good athletes and you can win that way in the state of Iowa. So I think that more than anything, the excitement that is surrounding the Iowa State program, yes, it's because they're winning games. It's also because of the way that they're playing and the exciting brand of football they're playing. It's fun to watch.
We had a lot more stuff that we could have got to today, including the Bears with another surprising performance over the weekend, despite the fact that over the course of two games as a starter, I think Mitch Trubisky has only made 23 pass attempts, and yet they're 2-0. The Packers losing to Cajun Troy's Saints, which isn't exactly all that shocking. A lot of baseball news I wanted to get to today. We'll probably have more movement on that front tomorrow, and certainly more room to discuss things tomorrow as well. It is 6:50. We'll step aside and take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you, and we'll set the table for what you can expect on a Tuesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on 106.3 and 107.5 FM, 1600 KGYM. Back after this.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids.
Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Even the most talented players don't make a winning team without a great coach. I'm Lisa Nolan with RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts. And as a lifelong Cyclone fan, I appreciate all the Iowa State coaches. As a realtor, I am your coach. I identify the strongest selling points for your home, I understand the details of this market, and I always make a clear plan for your success. Let's work together to buy or sell your home. You can contact me anytime at lisanolanrealtor.com. We'll make a great team.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics. Even against the toughest opponent, First Federal Credit Union always believes it's possible. That goes for banking, too. We have solutions that are designed to help you succeed. For over 80 years, we have been providing solutions for families in the corridor. From great products to outstanding service, you will discover it is possible with First Federal Credit Union. Visit us at firstfedcu.com. First Federal Credit Union, member NCUA, equal housing lender.
It is 6:52. Welcome back in, and boy, what a show. A lot of Iowa, a lot of Iowa State talk. Podcast will be available for you at kgymradio.com. While you're there, you can vote in today's Emil's Hideaway poll question. It has to do with how much longer you think Matt Campbell will be the head coach in Ames, Iowa. Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. Probably a big crowd there tonight for Monday Night Football. That's the Eagles and Washington, and it kicks off on our FM frequencies, 106.3 and 107.5, right at the top of the hour with the pregame. Jim Gray will have Tom Brady on. He'll be asking him about the rematch of Super Bowl 51. I love the Jim Gray interviews. They are the best part about the broadcast every week, because Tom Brady
just loves them.
He loves them, and he sort of gets in digs at Jim Gray, but he's contractually obligated to do them because Macy's pays for them, and it's usually entertaining theater for the mind. Let's send it over to Kyle Mann. He's got a final Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. Midwest One, with over 40 locations across the corridor for all of your banking needs.
The Cyclones have won three in a row after a 31-13 victory over Texas Tech this weekend. They moved to 5-2 on the season and 3-1 in the Big 12, and now find themselves ranked 25th in the country, giving them their first appearance in the AP poll since 2005. They'll have an opportunity to make a huge statement this weekend at home, hosting number 4 TCU. And Cyclone linebacker Marcel Spears was named the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week for his play in Saturday's win. The redshirt freshman had 7 tackles and a pick 6. The Iowa women's basketball team held its media day in Iowa City today, the first day of Big Ten Women's Basketball Week, and junior forward Megan Gustafson was named to the preseason all-conference team by both the coaches and the media. Gustafson averaged 18 points and 10 rebounds on her way to breaking single-season records for rebounding and double-doubles, and also becoming just the fourth player in program history to score 600 points or more. It was announced today that the UNI men's basketball team will be traveling to Madison on November 1st to take on Wisconsin in an exhibition game for hurricane relief. The game will be free admission into the Kohl Center, instead encouraging fans to make small donations to Team Rubicon. Tonight after the show, I'm sure we're going to have some awfully excited fans on the Cyclone call-in show. That's on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. We're also going to have Monday Night Football with the Eagles hosting the Redskins on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
All right, it's time for my favorite game, Alex. What does Kirk Ferentz say tomorrow? Tuesday, we get to hear from him and the players in Iowa City. We heard from him earlier tonight what he had to say after the Northwestern loss. Does anything change tomorrow? What's Kirk Ferentz going to say?
It's just the minor details. Got to get some things worked out.
Cleaned up.
Cleaned up. Reading your keys.
Execution.
Execution.
Details.
Details are very important. And we lost to a good football team, play another good football team in Minnesota. They're great offensively, defensively, and on special teams. And getting to an important part of the season, almost into November, which is the most important month of the football season. Got to be playing our best football down the stretch. Do we really need to play the audio tomorrow?
We may not
because
even
I think we just
to,
covered it.
We may not even need to go tomorrow. But if we didn't do that, then I couldn't get my wife for birthday cupcakes, my trip to Iowa City. So we'll be going tomorrow. You'll hear from Kirk Ferentz. And what else do we have coming up on the program tomorrow? We're talking World Series. World Series gets kicked off.
And I guess we'll figure that out when we go to the office and draw things up for tomorrow and then get things planned.
Well, that's the hard sell. There you go, folks. Tune in tomorrow. We just gave you the hard sell. Would you like to hear about the timeshares? No, you just want the free vacation? Well, you're going to hear about the timeshares anyway. Look, we'll get this stuff figured out. We'll have guests for you tomorrow. Come on. You know us better than that. Plus, we will be getting ready, gearing up, if you want to say it, for the tournament of bad Halloween treats. Still trying to figure out just exactly how the field will be seeded, how the voting will take place, the daily breakdowns and whatnot. But it's become a KGYM tradition that virtually no one else in the building wants to touch with a 10-foot pole, but we will once again determine bad Halloween candy and try to do so in time so that you can avoid handing it out to the neighborhood kiddos this year. Cyclone Sideline Show, 1600 AM, Monday Night Football on the FMs. Talk to you tomorrow.